And welcome to this week's episode of the Fitness Solution. Or if you're in my live Facebook group, it is my Straightforward Fat Loss Live Training, which is awesome. So as you probably know by now, I'm just cross-posting between my Facebook group and my podcast, because that way at least I get a podcast out and I get a training out for my Facebook group. So always, if you're on the podcast then and you're not in the Facebook group, join it. It's called Straightforward Fat Loss. And if you're in the Facebook group, listen to this as a podcast if you can't listen to the live. That is basically all I have to say at the top of this episode. Other than the fact that I've not been here for a while, and I do apologize. I've been just busy. It happens sometimes, right? Like, what can you do? Life always gets on top of all of us. And on top of, you know, working with all my clients on the Strong and Confident program, on top of my football schedule, which if you've been seeing my stories, you know, you'll see I've been running basically a marathon a week. Then it's just all been a little bit crazy in a good way, because football's going really well. But that means I've been a little bit slow and a little bit lax on getting these done and getting these out there. Now, as always, I posted a video into my group that was titled "Do You Feel Doomed to Always Be Fat?" Which is obviously a bit of an arresting kind of topic, and obviously it's that for a reason, but I feel like an awful lot of people do feel like their body weight is a damnation, is doomed, is, and doomed is such a kind of aggressive and sort of finite and infinite word, right? Doom, whatever doom is. It was a fantastic game on, I think it was on PC or PlayStation. God, you remember that? Like, it was like the first RPG. God, I'm showing my age now. And I do feel like people feel like this. Like, people think that no matter what they do, no matter who they are, no matter how many times they try and lose weight, no matter how they try and... sorry, every time I do one of these, I get a blinking thing saying my frame rate is too small. And it really annoys me, and it's just distracted me, and I'm like, well, how do I change it? And it doesn't look like I can, so I'm just going to ignore it. Right, back to you guys, because you guys are what matter. Oh, now I've lost my train of thought. Damn you, Facebook Live! They always feel like, no matter what they do, no matter how many diets they go on, no matter how many... no matter how many exercise programs they try, no matter how many coaches they employ, it's something that they're never going to conquer. They're just never, ever, ever going to conquer their body weight because of this doomed feeling. And I put that in inverted commas because I do think it is a feeling. Doom is a feeling doomed. It is an emotion, right? I heard a great quote today about that, and it was that, you know, the physiology of fat loss is pretty much the same for everyone. We don't have to change much for really anyone. You know, strength training 2 to 3 times a week, well, basically isn't, well, that does work, but basically it's the calories are going to be roughly the same, around 1600 to 1800 for women, and for men, maybe a little bit more, maybe between 1900 and 2100. Strength train, get your steps in, protein and veggies. It's like the physiology of fat loss is the same, but the psychology is different. And that's where coaching comes in. And it's true. Fat loss is a psychological journey, not a physiological journey. And I think a big part of this, a massive, massive part of this feeling, a massive part of this journey is indeed that psychological aspect. A big part of the topic of this about being doomed to always be fat is clearly a psychological thing. And in the video that I shared, I say that I wonder if you have this feeling of doom, if you have this feeling that all your life you're always going to be fat, simply because that's how you see the world. And I don't mean to like make you play victim here. I don't mean to judge you for that or anything like that. And I suppose this is one blind spot of mine that you could argue as a coach who's never been overweight and never had to lose a lot of weight. You could argue that I can't fully understand this, and I think that is a fair point. But I've seen it in enough people, and I know it of the world at large to be true, that you always view yourself as a fat person because that's how you think society is viewing you as well. And in many times, that is how society is viewing you. I fully appreciate that and fully get that. And if that's the case, then that's what we need to flip. That is where we need to target your energy. And that is where we need to target your journey, so that you actually start living your life, I want to say as a human being, but as a human being in a normal weight body. So now, there are obviously things that higher weight people are going to find harder to do. For instance, something like riding a bike, which is a whole another reason that the government's plan to tackle obesity is absolute nonsense. And that could be quite difficult to begin with, or even just going for a jog. Like, a blog post I'm working on at the moment is I'm too fat to jog, right? And it's a fallacy, it's not true. But the lived experience of someone who is in a higher weight body and has tried to go for a run, and I've seen the videos, I've seen the experiences, and it's horrible sometimes for those people. Like, not just the judgment they get from people, which I think is absolutely crazy and completely unneeded, of course. But also, like, you know, physiologically how it makes them feel. For instance, like, you know, the rubbing of the thighs together and things like that. Something I don't experience when I run. And that can feel horrible. And then, like, not only are you dealing with the exhaustion of doing a run, for, you know, like we all get when we go for a run, but then you've also got like this weird pain that reminds you every day, like just where your body is rubbed against itself, like chafing, and that's not nice either. And that could last longer than just the DOMS, and then you're like, oh, well, what's the point? Recovery takes longer, and it puts you in a bad mood about the run you've done. And there's lots of things that are against you if you're in a higher weight body, if you feel doomed to always be fat. There are a lot of things that are going to compound that feeling. What I would ask is that to change that feeling, to change that feeling of being doomed, to change that feeling of never being able to change, you need to start interacting with the world in a way that isn't defined by your body weight. Now, a lot of overweight people do have the attitude of not being able to do things simply because of their body weight. Oh, I can't wear that. Oh, I can't do this. I can't go on that roller coaster. I can't do this. I can't do that. And although there'll be certain things in your life that for certain people that might be true for, I reckon actually a lot of the barriers that are in place there are in the mind more so than in the truth of what you're experiencing. And I think a big way to change the feeling of this damnation of your body weight, of this lack of confidence in yourself because of your body weight, I think a lot of it is psychological, and you need to start interacting with the world in the same way that somebody else will. And if you stop viewing your place in the world solely as a person in a higher weight body, then you will start experiencing the world in a completely different way. And suddenly what that does is that takes away the fact that your body is a limitation, and it gives you so much more joy and wonder and glory about what your body is actually capable of doing. Now, I'm not saying all things are accessible. I want that to be really clear here. I'm not a fool. I'm not saying, you know, if you weigh 300 kilograms, I'm not sure that's possible, right? But let's say if you weigh, if you think you're so very, you know, you're so in such a higher weight body, I'm not saying that you should then quite simply be able to do 50 squat jumps like somebody else can. Of course not. That's going to harm you. That's not the right way of viewing this. But what I would say is, for instance, at work, do you think that you're not being heard? Do you think that you're not being listened to? Do you think that you're not being understood simply because of your body weight? And is that what you kind of go to? You're like, oh, well, they're not listening to me because of how much I weigh. And if that's true, is that honestly the truth? Or could it be you need to find a different way of viewing yourself in those interactions in order to then change the outcome of those interactions? It's a very difficult topic to manage, and it's hard to do on a... I'm hoping you can tell how kind of nuanced I'm trying to be with this discussion, because, you know, it's quite sensitive, and I don't want to be belligerent about it. I want you to think that I understand that it's not as straightforward as I might be trying to put it across. But it's a psychological change. It's a change of, when you go out shopping for clothes, don't avoid things. Don't avoid trying things. Now, I put on clothes and hate the way they feel on my body. I put on clothes and I hate the way I look in them. We all do that. That's part of the process of buying clothes. The reason I hate that is not because I'm a skinny boy. It's because those clothes weren't designed for me, and I just made a mistake in picking them up to begin with. And that could be true of you when you go out trying clothes and you try a dress that you think might work and it just doesn't. And that's okay. You know, like, there's not a retailer out there. Like, you walk into Topshop or you walk into, I don't know, H&M or whatever, and there's not a designer going, oh, this is particularly for Lucy, and then you try it on and it doesn't work for you. Then you have a right to be disappointed because it wasn't built for you. If it was built for you. But, like, you know, there's people that they're just throwing spaghetti at the wall, and then you're walking into that wall and you're trying the spaghetti and you're going, that's a bit cold. Well, that's disgusting. Why is the world against me? It's not true. It's just, it's a flip of the mind. It's not true. The world isn't against you. You just happened to pick up the wrong thing at the wrong time. You just picked up the wrong item of clothing that just wasn't designed for you. And there are things in the world that aren't designed for us. But believe you me, there are many things in the world that are designed for you. The world is designed for you. The world is designed for us as human beings to enjoy, to have fun with, to go out with, to look at. Right now out my window, I can see bright blue sky and beautiful fluffy clouds. Nothing's stopping you from doing that. Nothing is stopping you from going outside and enjoying that too, no matter what size you are. And if you can learn to flip that psychological view, if you can stop viewing yourself as a fat person in the world and start viewing yourself as a person in the world, then great things will come from that. Certain barriers will slowly start to erode in your life. Certain things that you think are out to stop you suddenly aren't there anymore. And by doing that, You will gain confidence. You will gain understanding. You will start to enjoy the world a little bit more. Interestingly, I've been watching a documentary on Stan, which is like an Australian version of Netflix. I think it might be their version of Hulu, if you're American. I don't think the UK has any version of any of that. And on it is a Scientology documentary by somebody called Leah Rimini. Yeah, I don't know if you know who Leah Rimini is. You might not. But she was, she played the wife of Kevin James in King of Queens. And she was a Scientologist. She was a Scientologist while she was filming that. She was a Scientologist most of her life. And she's now done this documentary with a guy called Mike Rinder, who also was a Scientologist. And they're just basically collating stories of people who are ex-Scientologists trying to expose how cult-like it is. And I'm not going to get into, I don't want to get attacked or cancelled by Scientologists, so I'm just going to leave it there. But one, like, I'm not getting into the politics of it or the religion of it, but one thing that I was about to say something then that would have got me in trouble, but one thing that all of these people say on this documentary is how closed off they felt, how, like, when they were in Scientology, how, like, sectioned away from society they were, how much they were in a cult, and how much they were just oppressed, and they couldn't enjoy what the world had to offer because they looked down on the rest of society because they weren't Scientologists. They looked down on them, feeling like, well, I can't talk to you because you're not a Scientologist and you're not as good as me because I am, and we're over here and we're the best, and we must keep it in this place. And then they broke free, and then they got out of Scientology, and they all talk about this kind of rebirth. They all talk about this moment where they suddenly look at another human as an equal. They're suddenly like, oh, you're just a person, and I really appreciate you. I really love having you and me here in life equal. And I do sometimes wonder if that is what we do to ourselves. I do sometimes wonder if, in many ways, we section ourselves off because we don't feel adequate enough for society. So it's not that you're looking down on them, but we don't feel adequate enough. We don't feel equal simply because of body weight. And when you can realize that that's an oppression you're putting on yourself, when you realize that you're sectioning yourself away from society as opposed to opening yourself up to society, then when you realize that, then suddenly good things will start to happen. Don't get me wrong, I know society can be a bugger. I know people can be very mean to other people about their body weight and stuff. But I would also like to say that is not, even though when that happens, it is traumatic. And it is, believe me, I believe it. I know it to be true. It's traumatic. That is also not the majority of people's interactions in society. That is a very small segment of how society views you. And there's a very small segment of your lived experience in society, even though it's had a long-lasting effect. And I suppose that's probably one of the key aspects that I'm going to leave us with here today, in that you're giving a lot of weight if you live like this. If you live in a position where you always feel doomed to be fat, If you are living in that place, then you are giving far too much importance and far too much respect to and far too much weight in your life to wankers, basically, to people who affected you, who don't deserve to have that effect on you for your entire life. These people, if you've gone through a traumatic experience and you think that might be why an awful lot of your feelings on this, and you think that's where all these kind of feelings come from, then first, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you went through that. And I'm sorry you feel like that. But also, they're bastards. Why are you giving bastards that much power over you? They don't deserve it. You deserve to be free. And you deserve to not section yourself away from society, but to open yourself up and try and engage more and see what the world can give you, irregardless of your body weight. Because I think sometimes I think we see that in ourselves first above everything else, and therefore we think that's what other people are seeing. And I'm not sure that's always true. Right. Whenever I put one of these up on Straightforward Fat Loss, I always like ask for comments, ask for questions, ask for things to talk about on the podcast, just so we have a bit more to do, which isn't a bad thing, is it? And I've had a few comments. One of my clients said that she just couldn't react to it, which probably means that it hit the spot a little bit, which is nice. Another one said, "Adam, it's about self-confidence, and that's a hard one to deal with." And of course it is. So I asked her to elaborate, and she said, "I think because you're bigger, you do feel self-conscious about the inner you." And then I asked if there was times this person didn't feel like that, and she said that only when she's asleep, which is very sad. And it is a self-conscious thing. You do feel self-conscious about yourself, of course you do. But one of the things that and like being self-conscious, I like to say is basically a what's the word? Insecurity. And what I know to be true with insecurities is when you start building your life around away from them, similar to grief, when you start fleshing out everything else in your life around, sorry, all I can hear is my cat meowing. When you start building your life around your insecurities, and you start, irrespective of your insecurity, you do things that require courage but push you away from it, the insecurity starts to diminish. So if you are self-conscious about your body weight, I get that. But by living a fuller life, by engaging in society more, by doing things that are open to everybody, irregardless of everything, then that feeling of self-consciousness will diminish. And that's why when you sleep, you don't feel like that. Oh, I've lost Wi-Fi. Oh, it's back. Sorry, it just came up saying I was currently offline, and now my internet connection's been restored. So, and it's interesting to me that you feel like that when you're asleep, and that's something that is open to all of society. So you're proving my point. Although it's probably got more to do with the fact you're not conscious. And then another person commented, "I feel like this mostly when I'm around my mum's family." Interesting. Because they are small, all small, petite, built people. And I'm just not. It's very hard not to compare myself to people I'm related to that are in similar life stage, yet I'm double their size. That got two likes. I wonder who liked that. I liked it and somebody else. Okay, so yeah, and that is, I suppose that's a big part of it, isn't it? That comparison to others. I need some water. That comparison to others, it's a big one. It really is. And how do we avoid that? Well, again, a big thing that gets rid of comparison to others is being very grateful for what your body is doing. And in order to do that, you have to give your body lots of things to do. You have to give it a reason, or you have to give your mind a reason to be grateful for what you are doing. So that's things like things that you can do in your body that they can't do, for one. And that takes you away from that self-comparison. So I feel a lot since I started refereeing again, I feel an awful lot less self-conscious about my body, because what I'm doing with it on a field is quite amazing and quite incredible, and even the standard and the level at which I'm performing at the minute is impressing myself, considering I had 3 years off and everything else. And so that, and I think it's impressing others, which is nice, because then I'm getting praise. And I know that sounds silly, right? Here we go, the narcissist that is Adam, and the ego trip that Adam has all the time coming out. But it's true, like, because I'm getting compliments from people, I'm feeling better about myself physically. And that's not a coincidence. Now, yeah, it's easy for me to go out, referee a game and get confidence and get compliments. It's also easy for me to go out and referee a game and not do that, and get a lot of criticism. And it's very, and like, I'm not saying you have to now go out and referee a football match. What I am saying is you'd be amazed. Like, if you used to get into the gym, and that's, I honestly think that's why that's why many people enjoy working with coaches, is because they get a lot of compliments while it's happening. I try and compliment my clients all the time on their form, on their feedback, on the fact they're showing up each week, on the fact that they're getting their Google Forms done online, on the fact that they're ticking off their workouts, on the fact that they're watching the videos, on the fact that they're listening to my podcasts. Like, it's like a well done. That's amazing. You're doing so well. And giving your body something to be so incredibly happy about, and giving yourself something to be happy in yourself about, to giving yourself, putting yourself into a position to receive compliments about, can very much make you feel a lot less self-conscious. And that's a very good place to be. So that could be baking donuts. Oh God, I love donuts. And if you are baking donuts, send them to me, please. As long as you in Australia and they won't go like weird. Or it could be tapestry, or it could be, and this is why I always tell clients to engage in hobbies as well. Like, do your hobbies. It could be coaching a swim team. It could be anything. It could be training doggies. It could be anything. And you'll get compliments, and those compliments will make you feel far less self-conscious about yourself, because you're doing something that is engaging with society. And when you engage with society, you can get good feedback. You can also get negative feedback, but you can get good feedback. And that good feedback will slowly start eroding the barrier you feel. That takes us back to the whole point of this podcast, which is why you're feeling doomed to always be fat. And so do things. It's not easy when you're around people you're close to and they all look so different and you feel like you stick out like a sore thumb. God knows I've stuck out like a sore thumb most of my life. I was the skinny, loud personal trainer who was always told to be quiet in the gym. I was the big-eared 18-year-old virgin actor at drama school. I was the wannabe actor who was never good-looking enough to be an actor in secondary school. My nickname was Rain Cloud because I used to cry a lot. God knows I've stuck out an awful lot in life. And in many ways, I draw a lot of confidence from that because I know I'm different and I enjoy that. And when I'm around people, yeah, I'm different. But that means that I have so much other things to bring to the table. I have a joyous amount of experience and different approach and a different view to life compared to everyone else around me. And that view, if I can believe that is a worthwhile view, then I can make somebody else believe that too. And that's what I'm doing. So yes, I'm also an Essex boy, which is never a good place to start your life from. So yeah, there we go. Right, I think that's it for today. All that's left to say is I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, this training, this live training. Go and listen to the podcast. Get into the Facebook group, Straightforward Fat Loss. At the end of the week, I'll put up what I'm going to try and do next week, schedules permitting. And I cannot wait to crack on with it. Thank you all so much for being here. I hope you've enjoyed my ramblings. Peace love and protein. High fives and positive vibes.